Hills, how are you all? It's great to be back here with you. And Jenner, my wife, is with me this morning, and this is always one of our favorite churches in all of Michigan and all the other states that aren't as good as Michigan, right? I tell you, the Michigan people love their state. Amen. And that wicked Ohio right below you, man. So, anyways, great to be back here. And a very special treat this morning is a friend of Jenner and mine is here with us. Her name is Anita Smith. And I'll tell you how God worked. Last night we were in Hobby Lobby. You're like, why were you in Hobby Lobby? Well, I was getting some little iron-on letters or numbers for my T-shirt at Lake Ann. I'm going to get, this is going to be my 35th summer at Lake Ann. So I was going to put 35 on my T-shirt. Anyways, we run into Anita. And Anita's husband, her husband was one of my best friends, Pastor Colin Smith. He was one of the greatest preachers. He knew 26 different Near Eastern languages. Okay, he could read hieroglyphics. The guy was brilliant, and he was my friend. I mean, it's like, I don't know what he saw in me, but anyways, and he passed away a number of years ago, and so sad. He was such a brilliant man and did so many great things. Greatest preacher I ever knew in my whole life, but Anita's here, and we met her last night. She says, well, I'm looking for a church, and she said, I was going to go to Highland Hills. I was like, we're going to be there tomorrow. Come, and you'll find out what a great church this is. So anyways, we hope you'll really embrace her and hopefully become her church family. Okay, Father's Day, all you fathers, I know usually what we do on Father's Day is beat the fathers up on the pulpit, you know. Do the same thing for Mother's Day, you know, how you ought to be a better mother and all that, but I'm going to preach something to you this morning that was probably one of the most helpful things and changes in my whole life. The verse I'm going to share with you, and we'll get into many other scriptures, but we're going to take off from Proverbs 16:32. If you'll take your Bibles and turn with me this morning. Also, I wanted to say before we get into the message how much Jenner and I have appreciated you standing behind us in our missions. We retired last August, but it doesn't mean we're retiring from ministry. We're still out doing almost everything we did before, just without a lot of money. So, but you have stood with us and said we're going to continue to support you, and we really appreciate that so we can keep going and preaching the word. But you've also helped us in many projects, mission projects. One of them is the Kuzel Project in Germany. And I want to tell you with great joy that the building in Kuzel is totally finished. And you once and again, over and over again, gave us means to fulfill that. You helped us get some of the, it's like wall board, to get, the plastery. You helped us get that done, which was, So they didn't have to do it themselves, and you helped us finish off those top floors. The Kuzel building has three floors, and it's built so it could operate as a camp. We can do conferences there. It's also a local church. They built a brand new, beautiful auditorium for there, and a place to meet, a fellowship hall, and everything. So it took us about 8 years to build it. It's probably a multi-million dollar building. We built it for about $800,000. So, and that, a lot of that was due because of you, and you sent a lot of your young people over also to help us with our English camp. And since COVID, we had to shut that down, but we're going to try to revive it again. And just lately, the missions committee voted to give us a couple thousand dollars to help get that going again. So anyways, we just appreciate you standing behind us and beside us and helping us do our ministry. So thank you so much. And we'll be going over again this fall to try to generate some new ministry over there. We've been invited to come back and speak at the association, a Christian Schools International to be their keynote speaker. So we're excited to get back into our ministry going back to Europe. All right, Proverbs 16:32. Let's read that. Whoever is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules his spirit than he who takes a city. Let me read that again. Whoever is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules his spirit than he who takes a city. I was in my 30s when I ran across this verse, and I was a young man at that time. I was actually a pastor, but I was very poor in ruling my spirit. I let my spirit rule me. I'm a very emotional person. Anybody like that out there? You know, some of you might be. Yeah, now, my wife, she's kind of steady. She's like this, okay? Nothing, you know, I'll tell you, we've been married 49 years. I've seen her depressed maybe 3 days out of the whole time, okay? And it usually lasts half a day, and she'll be like, oh, I don't like being like this. I think I'll be happy again. Talk about control. Not me. I'm like, you know, I'm up and down, you know, And I remember the first 32 years of my life waking up every morning being like, oh, I'm still alive, you know. And, oh, depressed and problems with anger and everything. And then I ran across this verse. Now, I got saved when I was 15 years old, came to know the Lord as my Savior. I want to honor my father in saying this morning that he took me to church every Sunday, all right? Made me sit beside him. We didn't have children's church back then. My dad was children's church. And if I turned my head, he'd grab it and straighten it out, you know. You look forward and listen. It was kind of a liberal church, and so I really didn't get the gospel until I went to camp at 15 and I got saved. And praise God, God opened my eyes to the gospel that only Jesus could save me. Before that time, I thought if I went to church and worked that I would maybe perhaps go to heaven. Heard the gospel, and one of the things that happens to us when we get saved is the Holy Spirit, God himself, the third person of the Godhead, comes to live inside of us. Amen? And so we have power to change. We no longer have to depend on ourselves, but we have a power, the power of God himself within us to teach us the scriptures and to help us to be a different person. Well, one of my great problems as a young man, even after I got saved and after I got married at the age of 21 and had children, was I had a problem with anger. I had a problem with anger. And it probably started when not only did my father forced me to go to church, but he also made me go out to the barn. We were farmers. I had to feed cows every morning, you know, before school, morning and night, feed the cows, feed the cows, feed the cows, feed the calves, feed the heifers, feed the cows. I'm like, you know, I wouldn't, you know, and I get so mad at them. And, oh, I'll tell you, I had a really terrible problem with anger and cursing. Boy, I'll tell you what, those cows make me mad. I just run off a stream. Now, my dad didn't hear this, but when I was alone, I'd just be cursing and swearing and, you know, 50, 60 curse words in a row and beating the cows with sticks. You know, you just ruined my life. I got to come out and feed you dumb animals all the time. And I tell you, I got to camp. I remember the night I was saved and the preacher got up. He says, I'll bet you kids curse and your parents don't know about it. I'm like, how does he know that? You know, and he went on with every one of my sins. And I was like, God, I can't stop my swearing. I can't stop my swearing. And the Holy Spirit said to me, I know you can't, but Jesus can help you. You need him. That's why he went to the cross, you know. So he's not asking you to reform. He's asking you to be born again. And I got saved. And I remember riding home from camp, and I was like, it was such a revolutionary concept to be saved by faith. And I remember riding home saying, I wonder if it's real. Am I really born again? Am I really going to be different? Am I really going to have a different power? I remember going out to the barn after, you know, my first day back home from camp, and I go out there and I remember walking by a cow and a cow kicked me, and I was like, God bless you, you know. And I was like, I didn't swear. I didn't curse. I had self-control. Wow. Man, when you get saved and the Holy Spirit helps you, you can. And you know what? I didn't say another curse word for about 2 years. And I remember the day I said the first curse word after 2 years because someone was sending the hay up into the hay mow too fast. And I said, slow down, blankety blank, you know. And I was like, oh, I thought I'm going to hell. God's going to take away my salvation. And he showed me, no, don't take away your salvation. But I'll tell you what, there was power. And I believe we still can have that power. And though we might struggle as believers, one of the things that hit me when I read this verse, he who rules his spirit is greater than a man that could conquer a city, is that, well, let me ask you this. Do you believe this is the word of God? Amen. So if the word of God talks about someone who can rule their spirit, it must be possible. Amen. 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 Okay, some of you are like, I don't know. Well, I'm going to whip up on you this morning. So we're going to talk about the title this morning is one simple command, and that is rule your spirit. And I believe if you're born again and the Holy Spirit lives within you, the Bible tells us that our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. If God talks about people, that men that can rule their spirit, then it must be possible. Amen. Are you with me? Are you tracking with me? Okay, it must be possible to rule our spirit. Let me tell you what, America is filled with people who can't control their spirit, and that's one of their reasons why they won't change. Well, I'm a victim, you know. My mother potty trained me wrong, you know, so I'm a mass murderer. And we're like, oh, well, of course, we understand, you know. Or I have a problem with anger, I'm Irish. Oh, of course. Or I have red hair. Well, you're excused, you know. We got all these excuses, whereas the Bible gives us a lot of commands to, you know, be filled with the Spirit and do certain things. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. Amen? Well, I'm going to just give you three ways in which we can rule our spirit this morning. And I want to say this especially to fathers because I know when I learned these things, my family really enjoyed it, okay? So the first one is rule your spirit against anger. Rule your spirit against anger. We see that right here in verse 32. Whoever is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules his spirit than he who takes a city. Wow, do you have rule over your spirit, over anger? Well, I'll tell you what, if you don't, Proverbs 17:27. Let's look over just a chapter away. Whoever restrains his words has knowledge, and he who has a cool spirit is a man of understanding. Do you have a cool spirit? Or are you someone just, you know, you get, man, your trigger is just right there, and you're, you know, listen, one of the things I realize as a pastor is that I never showed anger at church. You know what? I always had self-control at church. You know, somebody, you know, step on your toe or something, and they'd be like, oh, I'm sorry, Pat. It's okay, brother. You know? Boy, at home, my wife leave the cupboards open, you know. For some reason, she opens cupboards and leaves them open and doesn't close them again. I have no idea why. You know, I'm like, are you going back for something? No. And I whack my head on it. And there in the privacy of my home, like, why can't you close the cupboard door? I just hit my head. Why do you do that? I don't know. Go in the bathroom. The drawers are open. I'm like, you still got? No, I'm done. Why don't you close the drawer? I just whack my knee on it. You know, and at church, like, you know, someone ran into your car. Oh, that's all right, brother. I have insurance. You know, boy, the kids do something. I remember my son one time. I come home. I was a pastor, and I come home. He'd been eating potato chips, and he was just a little toddler at that time. And I walked in the door, and he came up and grabbed my pants. You know, with that greasy hands, he's going to stain those beautiful pants, you know, and get grease stains on it. What are you doing? You know, I wouldn't have done that at church. Now, if you can control it in public, you can do it in private. Amen? Well, I'm Irish. Nope. We have the Holy Spirit. We can control our anger. One of the things I found is I really took this verse and said, God, if the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy, love is a choice, amen? Joy is a choice, and we'll be talking about that in a little bit, but peace, when I read that, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. Okay, can I choose peace? Yes. And I found that the reason I didn't choose peace, I found five basic things that usually would put my spirit in turmoil that would, and I'd let loose with my anger. Number one, frustration of my expectations. Boy, you know, I used to worship my vacations because I love free time. And when I was a pastor, man, it just, you never seemed to get away from anything. And boy, when vacation, I remember getting in a car one time. We're heading off vacation, 4-hour drive away, man. And 1 hour down the road, we hit a traffic jam. Now, I expected to get to my destination in 4 hours, and instead, my, you know, the thing, my vacation was being held up, and man, the old pressure's just increasing. I mean, we're not even moving. It's just sitting still in this hot summer sun, and I'm all of a sudden, man, I started beating on the dashboard, you know. I'm like, man, and my wife's like, you know, stop it, you know, and I'm like, well, I want to go on vacation, you know. Never do that at church. What was my expectation? I was going to get there to my favorite thing, and something frustrated my expectations. I'll tell you what, whenever I get up in the morning now, I have to, every day I have to say, what are your expectations for this day, and what might mess that up? Are you ready to choose peace? I remember as I was learning to choose peace, I remember one time, again, we got in a traffic jam, and my kids are all in the back seat. You know, they were still in our home, and they could see, you know, this is a time when Dad would get frustrated, and I forget what happened, you know, why was the traffic jam or whatever, where we were. But I was sitting there, and my wife looked at me. She said, are you okay? I said, yeah, I'm choosing peace. It's fruit of the Spirit. I'm choosing peace. And my kids in the back like, Dad, we love it when you choose peace. We love it. Just think if we could get anger out of our homes, dads and moms. Second thing that really caused me anger is violation of my personal rights. That usually happens when I'm driving. Someone pulls out in front of me when I have the right of way. Did you ever have that happen to you? And when we're in that little cubicle of privacy in our car, do we act like Christians then? You stupid idiot! You know, that was my right, and you pulled out in front of me, and I don't do that anymore. I started saying, I remember this one time, this is when I was younger, and this old guy pulls out in front of me. I mean, I'm barreling down, this is when I lived in Pennsylvania, I'm barreling down the hill so I can go up the other hill, you know, without using my gas and my brakes, and so I'm flying down that hill, and at the bottom of this hill was a road that, you know, it teed off into the, and this old man looked up the road at me flying down the hill and pulled out in front of me. Man, the brakes were squealing. The tires were squealing. I pull up right behind him, and he looks, his eyes are about this big. And God said, you going to choose peace? But it was my right to go. I just waved. I did. I chose peace. Violation of personal rights. Now, this can go even much deeper in victimization. Maybe some of you could say, you know, what happened to me was not right. It's a violation of my personal rights. Or maybe some of you are like, you know what, this is Father's Day, and I never had a very good father. You know, and I think God would, he would have want me to have a good father. Isn't that something I should have had, and I got this really wacko father, and sometimes we can be angry about that. Our personal rights are violated. Well, can we just say, God, I yield it to you, and by the Spirit of God, I'm going to choose peace. Third thing that I find that makes me angry is pride. Pride. You ever watch these young mothers in the store with their little kids when You know, they're getting into the cereal boxes and pulling stuff off, and she's got like three she's trying to herd. And she's like, don't touch that. No, don't touch that. No, please. And you could tell the kids never heard no before. And they're just, and all the us older people are looking at them like, oh, little brats, you know. And we're just, And all of a sudden she's looking around, everybody's, and she's, you know, and her pride is hurt. You know, she's being embarrassed. And all of a sudden she's just bursting angry. You kids, I tell you over and over again, you know. And she'll do it in public. And think of the things maybe when our pride is hurt and we get humiliated and we get angry. So pride, I have to be careful, pride. And think about that when I start getting, what is making me angry? Number four, this is a big one, fear. Fear. As I look back at a time when I got angry, when I came home from the pastor and my son grabbed my pants with those greasy fingers and I got angry, and Jenner, I remember she came out of the kitchen, and she goes, what's the matter with you? He's just trying to say hello. And I'm like, I don't know what's the matter with me, besides the fact that he could have ruined some really nice pants. But you know what? There was a lot of stuff going on at church. Scary stuff. You know, what if the church splits? What if, you know, these two people don't settle this argument? And what if I have to confront this? And you got these fears of what's going on and in the workplace or in your family or your children. And I'll tell you what, and this thing is just, you know, filling up the balloon, and all it takes is somebody like the kid to grab your pants and with the greasy fingers and pop, and it blows up. It's because you're dealing with a lot of fear and you keep it inside until it comes out as anger. And I had to really confront that. I do have a lot of fear in my life. Number five, weariness. I think that's another reason why a lot of times I'd come home from a retreat, speaking, you know, four times in 3 days and pouring my life into people's lives and this emotion and all the rest. And I come home, and I remember one of the things used to frustrate me, get me so angry, is hangers. You ever try to take a hanger out of the closet and it gets caught with the other hangers? And you know, and I'm tired because I've been, you know, spending all this emotional, physical, and spiritual energy, and this hanger won't come on. I remember, like, you're ripping it out and ripping it apart. You'll never hang up another clothes. And you're, Jenner be like, oh, you feel better? That hanger will never hang again. I'll show it, you know, this inanimate object, you know. Jenner goes, what's the matter with you? I'm like, I think I'm tired. You know, I spend a lot. So be careful and say, dear God, help me to guard my heart when I'm physically, emotionally, and spiritually spent. So rule your spirit against anger. Can we do that? Some of us, we need to start a campaign in our lives. And the fruit of the Spirit is peace. Instead of anger, can we choose peace? Yes, we can. Don't blame it on your heritage. Don't blame it on your nationality. If you're born again, you can have self-control. Amen? Amen. Rule your spirit against anger. Number two, rule your spirit against depression. Rule your spirit against depression. Wow, this is something that plagued me for the first 32 years of my life. And I finally, one day, I was a pastor at the time, and I said, God, if you can't help me be a happy person, I've got to get out of the ministry. I just wake up every morning depressed because of all the responsibilities I have to face. By the way, I believe some people are born of very strong spirits. That's my wife. You know, I mean, she's been able to endure me for 49 years of marriage and not get depressed. She's strong, you know. I remember someone in church one time came up to her, and they came right up in her face. It was when I was pastoring, and she stomped up right up to my wife in her face. She got in her face and said, you make me so sick, you're always so happy. And she stomped away. And I was like, you know, me, it would have horrified me. And if someone had said that to me, and I looked at her, I said, are you okay? She goes, oh, you know her. Bounce right off her strong spirit. Me, I was born with a weak spirit, and if you have a weak spirit, look at verse chapter 15 of Proverbs, verse 13. A glad heart makes a cheerful face, but by sorrow of the heart, the spirit is crushed or broken. You know what? Some of us have been living for years, and I had up to the age of 32 with a crushed spirit by sorrow of the heart. Some of you have lived a life, nothing's ever gone right for you. Some are like, yeah, sorrow of the heart. And that, you know, a glad heart makes a cheerful countenance. That was my wife. She had a strong spirit. Nothing bothered her. Me, you know, I wake up every morning, I got to go feed cows. And I didn't like the cows. I had cousins that were farmers. They love farming. They're farming to this day. And I was like, wow, what's wrong with you? You know. Some of you had jobs you don't like. You wake up every morning, your heart sinks. Oh. Or you have a bad marriage, or you came from a rough home, or people called you ugly in school when you were in junior high school. Boy, I tell you, I remember that sorrow. Girls in junior high come up to me, Rudolph, why are you so ugly? I'm like, the Bible says God made me this way, you know. And so, you know, the sorrow of the heart, the spirit is crushed. Now, I love my dad. My dad just passed away in January. But he was a great father. But one of the things, he was German, and he was always, you know, pressing me to work hard and, you know, don't be lazy and, you know, keep the barn clean. And no matter what I did, it could never be clean enough. No matter how hard I worked, it was not hard enough. You know what I mean? And I remember getting to the point where I was like, there's nothing I can do to please my dad. And that kind of crushed my spirit. Now, my dad didn't mean to do that to me. Okay, so I long ago forgave him. But I'll tell you what, that was always a thing that kind of crushed my spirit. And God knew that. He's like, I know why your spirit is crushed, but you know what? Let's look at another verse. Verse 4 of chapter 15. A gentle tongue is a tree of life. Oh, I wish my dad had more of a gentle tongue. He was kind of hard on me. But perverseness in it breaks the spirit. My dad, I mean, it wasn't perverse in the way that, you know, he didn't curse at me or anything, but it was the way, you know, a perverse tongue can break your spirit. And he was always like, you'll never amount to anything, and you don't work hard enough, and you're lazy, and, you know, he did it because he wanted me to be a good worker, and I understand it. And I accept that, and I've forgiven my dad. In fact, I told him a long time ago, you know, my dad's never the kind of guy would ever ask me to forgive him, okay? He was John Wayne, who was born again, okay? The tough guy, but I love my dad. But what I had to do is realize, where is my sorrow of heart? Where did it come from? And then we need to look over at chapter 17, verse 22. A joyful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones. But why didn't I have energy to go out and feed the cows? Why was I always depressed? Why didn't I ever want to do my homework? Let me tell you, when you have a broken spirit, it dries out your bones. It saps you of your energy. Some of you wake up every morning, you don't want to get out of bed. And you're depressed. And can I tell you what? You have the Holy Spirit. God wants to heal your broken spirit. We sing that in a song, Victory in Jesus. And then I cried, Dear Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit. And somehow Jesus came and brought to me the victory. Amen? I'll tell you what. I came to God with my broken spirit. I'm like, oh, yes, God. And then chapter 18, verse 14 talks about a man's spirit will endure his weakness, but a crushed spirit, who can bear? Another thing about a broken spirit when you have depression is you can't bear up under pressure. A broken spirit, who can bear? Man, I became a pastor, and they're like, Pastor, you know, your announcements are too long. Pastor, this is, you know, and Pastor, you robbed my heavenly rewards. And you know, they can give you all these things, and you're like, oh, and I just, sometimes I'd say, I just want to get out of the pastorate. And then God, somehow Jesus came and brought to me the victory when I read chapter 16, verse 32. A man who rules his spirit is greater than a man who could conquer a city. And I said, wow, dear God, I think I can rule my spirit. I have the Holy Spirit. Amen? Is that a truth? And so, can I choose peace? Yes. Can I choose joy? The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. Count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Yeah, but you don't know what I grew up with. I can't do it. I'm Irish. You know, whatever. And so one day I, pastor, depressed, ready to give up, I read, I can rule my spirit. And I started waking up every morning, sitting on the edge of my bed. I'm like, okay. And I'd think about all the things I had to do, like, oh no, this problem there. And I'd be like, stop. I'm going to choose joy today by the power of the Spirit. And by the grace of God, I'm going to get through all these problems. Amen? Deacon's meeting tonight. By the grace of God, I'm going to stand up to those men and tell them everything that, you know, I'm going to get through it by the grace of God. Oh, these people have got problems in the church with one another. I'm going to call them up and I'm going to get it fixed. I'm going to rule my spirit. Choose joy. Choose peace. I'm going to choose love. Wow, I'll tell you what, I started taking this and obeying it. Another thing that I did is I took Colossians 3:21, which says, fathers, don't irritate your children lest they become without spirit. And as I read that, I was like, well, maybe that's what my dad did to me when he irritated me by calling me stupid my whole life and he broke my spirit. And whoa, and God's like, okay, well, that was 15 some years ago. He says, guess what? Who's your daddy now? Father's Day, who's your dad? Maybe you didn't have a good father. Maybe you had a good father. Maybe he's gone. But I'll tell you what, God said to me, I'm your father now. And if I'm telling earthly dads not to depress their kids by irritating them, what would I never do to you, Ken Rudolph? I'm like, you never irritate me. You never break my spirit. Woo! And so I started hoping in God. I wonder what God's going to do today to heal me. Because he's a good father. Amen? So on Father's Day, you need to realize you have a good father. And man, I just was expectant every day instead of depressed. I started choosing joy. And listen, none of my circumstances changed. I didn't have to get a new wife. I didn't have to get a new church. I didn't have to get a new face. I was still the same ugly person I always was. But I started choosing joy. Amen? Wow. Isn't that great? You rule your spirit against anger, rule your spirit against depression. And then one last one very quickly. Rule your spirit against fear. Number three, rule your spirit against fear. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. How about Romans 8:15? For God has not given us the spirit of bondage again to fear, but the spirit of adoption whereby we cry out, Abba, Father. I'll tell you what, some of us live in fear all the time. Could be fear about what's going on in the world, fear about what's going on in your family's life, fear about what's going on in your health. I remember so vividly the fear I had when one of my grandchildren over in Germany, and I'm sitting there in a German hospital with this little boy, I think he was about 4 or 5 years old, and something majorly wrong with him, and going through all these tests, and I had to stay overnight with him in the hospital, and I'm sitting there, and boy, the fear, like, what if this problem, and well, it's probably not going to go away according to the tests, and if I could just take this. If I could take this for him, I would, but, and then I thought of the time when Jesus walked on the water during the storm and the disciples were all by themselves and they must have been so afraid. And Jesus came to them and he was coming to rescue them, but they thought it was a ghost. Isn't that how we respond to life a lot of times? When Jesus is coming to help us, and they saw him, and they thought it was a ghost, and they cried out in fear, and what did he say to them? Take courage. Rule your spirit. Take courage. But we're drowning. Take courage. It is I. Do not be afraid. Amen. I remember sitting in that hospital thinking and so scared of what was going to happen to my grandson. And God says, Ken, I want, take courage. Stop being afraid. This is me. I gave this to your grandson, and I will work it all out. I'll take care of it. Face it with courage. Take courage. It is I. Do not be afraid. And I'll tell you what. I just said, I'm going to obey the scriptures because I have a God who lives within me, and I'm going to choose courage. And I'll tell you what, God worked it all out. He's still not perfect health-wise, but I'll tell you what, we're just taking courage to deal with it. And some of us, we just need to look at the things that make us afraid today. And God has not given us a spirit of bondage again to fear, but the Holy Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry out, Abba, Father. We have a Father on Father's Day that can teach us to rule our spirit against anger, against depression, and against fear. And we can be a witness to the world of the grace of God and what salvation can do. And maybe this morning, there might be somebody here this morning that's come and said, I don't have Christ as my Savior. Can I tell you, cry out to him. Cry out to him this morning, save me. Give me the Holy Spirit that I could rule my spirit and I could be victorious in life because I'm just full of anger and I'm full of depression and I'm full of fear and I hate this life that I'm living. Listen, Jesus Christ can save you from your sin. He can take away your sin and give you the Holy Spirit, a spirit that will renew, will regenerate you and give you the power to live the Christian life like he did me. Wow. Power over anger. Power over depression. Power over fear. Amen. On this Father's Day, I pray that you will turn to the Father of adoption and cry out to him. Let's pray. Father, we come to you. Thank you for sending us Jesus Christ, that this angry, depressed, fearful person could get saved. And Father, you are faithful. You are faithful to us. And Father, I just pray for this church as they continue their ministry in this community, that they would be a picture of the power of God in their lives. A picture and an example that they are filled with the Holy Spirit. A spirit that will never leave us. Never leave us or forsake us. The Spirit can teach us to rule our spirit against anger, against depression, and against fear. Oh, Father, I pray that you'd raise us up in faith to believe these things, that the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace. And we just pray that we might magnify you, glorify you in how we live. Father, right now I pray that by the Holy Spirit there would be some determination here, sitting in these pews. Right now they would say, I'm going to take courage because it's you, God, working in my life, and I will not fear. And I will learn how to overcome depression. I will anticipate the work of a father who does not irritate his children and depress them, or a God who will help us to conquer our anger. Wow. A man who does that is greater than a man who could conquer a city. So make them mighty people in this church, Father, to take the gospel to the world and to live a life of love, joy, and peace. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.